This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله سابغ النعم وخالق الإنسان من بعد العدم فالحمد ثم الحمد ثم الحمد لك حمدا كثيرا طيبا يا رب لك أعطيتنا خيرا كثيرا ربنا سترت عن كل الورى عيوبنا ثم الصلاة بعد والتسليم على النبي المصطفى الكريم.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I welcome you to another episode of our continuing series towards understanding Surah Yusuf. This is your host, Yasir Qalbi. In our previous episode, we had discussed the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam manages to keep Binyamin with him. In today's episode, we will discuss what the brothers did and how could they possibly face their father after giving such a strict oath that they would take care of Binyamin. How would they possibly go back? Stay tuned and find out.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to another episode of our series towards understanding Surah Yusuf. We had finished our last episode talking about the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam manages to keep his brother Binyamin by causing the brothers to pronounce the verdict or the ruling upon the one who steals. Because if he had followed the king's law, if he had followed the law of the land, then he would not have been able to take his brother and keep him. But by allowing his own brothers to testify and to say what their law would be, and their law was that the person who stole would be kept as a slave or as a servant to the one from whom he stole. By allowing them to give the verdict, he was able to keep his brother with him. So we now move on. What was the response of the brothers and how did they possibly face their father? And we will, as is our custom, recite verses at the beginning and we'll explain them. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll recite from verse number 77 all the way up until verse number 82.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قالوا إن يسرق فقد سرق أخ له من قبل فأسرها يوسف في نفسه ولم يبدها لهم قال أنتم شر مكانا والله أعلم بما تصفون قالوا يا أيها العزيز إن له أبا شيخا كبيرا فخذ أحدنا مكانه إنا نراك من المحسنين قال معاذ الله أن نأخذ إلا من وجدنا متاعنا عنده إنا إذا لظالمون فلما استيئسوا منه خلصوا نجيا قال كبيرهم ألم تعلموا أن أباكم قد أخذ عليكم موثقا من الله ومن قبل ما فرطتم في يوسف فلن أبرح الأرض حتى حتى يأذن لي أبي أو يحكم الله لي وهو خير الحاكمين ارجعوا إلى أبيكم فقولوا يا أبانا إن ابنك سرق فقولوا يا أبانا إن ابنك سرق وما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا وما كنا للغيب حافظين واسأل القرية التي كنا فيها والعير التي أقبلنا فيها وإنا لصادقون.
So in these series of verses, the story now goes to the brothers of Yusuf, the 10 brothers who had begged their father to take Binyamin with them, and now lo and behold, Binyamin has been snatched away in front of their eyes by their own verdict. They were the ones who pronounced the verdict. They were the ones who said, if we find somebody who has stolen from amongst us, you can take him. They were so confident that none of them had stolen. And lo and behold, Binyamin's bag has the missing cup. And remember, Binyamin is in on the plot, because had he not been told, then he too would have tried to defend himself. But remember what Yusuf alayhi salam had told him, don't worry about what's going to happen, I am in charge. So Binyamin stays silent, and he doesn't defend himself, nor does he say anything. And so silence in this case is an indication of guilt. That you have found the merchandise and you're not defending yourself, this is an indication of guilt. What was the reaction of the 10 brothers? What do you think they did? Look at, we see now, one side of their evil nature, and we say this knowing full well that eventually they were forgiven and they repented and they became righteous. But they went through some phases of bad and good. They were people who were battling their jealousies and emotions, and here we find another evil incident that shows the other side of their nature. And the first thing that they say, قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِقْ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. They said they disassociated themselves from their own brother, and they said, well, if we have found out that he is a thief, no surprise. For indeed he had a brother that was also a thief, i.e. Yusuf alayhi salam. They accused Yusuf of being a thief. Look at the audacity. These people have tried to murder Yusuf or throw him into a well. They were the real thieves because they had stolen Yusuf away from his father. And yet, here they are accusing Binyamin of being a thief and saying, even if Binyamin is a thief, no surprise. We knew his brother before, and he too was a thief. Now, either they were blatantly lying, or it is also possible that Yusuf alayhi salam might have done something which they called stealing. What does this mean? Well, realize that it is possible for a person to do a good deed, and a person with an evil intention will pervert that good deed and make it into a bad deed. For example, I mean, it is narrated in some of the books of tafsir that Yusuf alayhi salam's maternal grandfather, not his paternal, i.e. not Ya'qub's father, which is Ishaq, but rather his mother's father. Yusuf alayhi salam's mother's father, it is narrated that he was an idol worshipper. And when Yusuf was a child, he tried to dissuade his grandfather from worshipping this idol, and he even went to the extent of taking away this idol and destroying it, so that his grandfather leaves idolatry. So the fact that he took this idol away, his brothers called this stealing. The fact that he's trying to make his grandfather turn away from idolatry and to the worship of Allah, look at how they perverted it and they called it stealing. So they said, even if he is a thief, Binyamin, then we know that his brother before was a thief as well. So Yusuf at this point, Allah says, فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِي لَهُمْ. Yusuf hid it in his heart, and he didn't show it to them. What is the it? What did Yusuf hide in his heart? Again, there's lots of interpretations. One interpretation is that he hid the next statement, which is قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. You are the worst of the lot. In other words, you think Binyamin is evil? No, you are the real evil people, not Binyamin and his brother. And Allah knows what you are saying. So according to one interpretation, he hid this in his heart. He didn't say it out loud. According to another interpretation, he hid the fact that he was Yusuf. And if he wanted to, he could have defended himself. Now here's another interesting theme. Yusuf alayhi salam, generally speaking, defends himself. But over here, he doesn't. Why? It goes back to the fact that sometimes it is in your better interest not to defend, such as in this case. So we say that if your honor has been, if you have been accused of a crime, if your honor has been charged, denigrated, the general rule as a Muslim, you are obliged to defend yourself. Unless there is a greater benefit to be gained by not defending yourself. Such as in this case, Binyamin does not defend himself. And Yusuf alayhi salam does not defend himself. Because if they were to defend themselves, then the whole plot will be given away. So Yusuf alayhi salam hides in his heart it. It here, according to the second interpretation, would be the fact that he is Yusuf. So Yusuf hid his identity from them, and he did not reveal himself to them. وَلَمْ يُبْدِيهَ لَهُمْ His identity to them. قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌّ مَكَانًا. According to the second interpretation, then he physically said out loud, you are شَرٌّ مَكَانًا, in the worst situation, and Allah knows best what you are saying. So he said this cryptic statement, if you like, according to the second interpretation, and the cryptic statement would be understood by himself and his brother. And that is that you are the worst and not us, and Allah knows what you are saying. Even if I cannot defend myself now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what you are saying. Now, after the first initial phase of disassociation, their true nature comes out, which is that they do have a soft spot and a gentle spot. And this is something that we will concentrate on later on in the story. But one very beautiful message of the story. Look at the brothers of Yusuf and what they did. And yet eventually they are forgiven. If there is hope for the brothers of Yusuf for the crimes that they have done, then surely there is hope for me and you. If the brothers of Yusuf are forgiven for physically abducting their younger brother and throwing him into a well and separating him from his own father and causing so much anguish and grief, not only to this young child, but especially to their own father, if eventually they are forgiven, then surely there's hope for us sinners as well. And this is one beautiful theme of the story as well. So Yusuf alayhi salam then says to them, Allah knows best what you are saying. They respond back, قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ. They say, O Aziz. So they call him by the very title that he used to call his master, that his master was called by, Imra'atul Aziz. And this is the indication that we said that he took over the position of his master. They say, إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا. This lad has a father. They don't say our father. They say he has a father who is an old man, شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. So why don't you take one of us in his place? Verily, we see you to be a very generous person. So they offer one of their own as a ransom instead of their younger brother. And this shows really in the end of the day that they had good hearts. That they, generally speaking, after all that was said and done, still they were remorseful for what they had done. And they were willing to take one of their own innocent brothers and put him in place of Binyamin. And this leads us to our first break, inshallah ta'ala. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us.
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ
كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ
كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. So they accuse Binyamin of being a thief, and they say his brother was a thief as well. Yusuf alayhi salam says, Allah knows best what you are saying. He couldn't defend himself then. They felt guilty. They realized this is a major problem now. This is a major problem for them. They have given the most solemn oaths that they're going to bring Binyamin back. unless an army surrounds them, unless something happens that is beyond their control, even though this is beyond their control, but this is not something that is an army attacking. This is something that they can try to prevent. So their good nature comes out as well. And they beg and they plead. And they say, "Oh Yusuf, you're such a generous man. You're such a nice man. He is a young child." This is the youngest of them, remember. "He is a young child who has an old elderly father who loves him a lot. Take one of us in his place." So this shows you they were willing to sacrifice one of their own and take the place of Binyamin in order that Binyamin goes back to their father. Yusuf alayhi salam responds, "Qala ma'adallah." He says, "Refuge is sought in Allah. Allah is the one. How can you say this? How can I possibly take an innocent person and take him instead of this person?" And notice what Yusuf says. "Ma'adallahi an na'khudha illa man wajadna mata'ana 'indahu." How can we take anyone other than the one with whom we found our goods? He didn't say the thief, because his brother was not a thief. Look at the precise wording of the Quran. Look at the precise wording of Yusuf alayhi salam. He doesn't say, "How can we take an innocent person instead of the thief?" He says, "How can we take an innocent person instead of the one with whom we found the cup?" Look at how long he had to say in order that he doesn't say the word thief. "Inna idhal lazalimun." In that case, we would be doing a lot of injustice. This is a great injustice to take an innocent person instead of the one with whom the goods were found. So they continued trying, they continued begging, they continued pleading, many different tactics, but they had to give up. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ. This indicates that they kept on begging and pleading and doing everything that they could possibly think of. So until they finally gave up, that this is now a done deal, Binyamin has been taken away. خَلَصُوا نَجِيَّ. They came to have a private meeting. So Binyamin is taken away, and the 10 of them now come together, apart from society, apart from the other people, and they began talking to one another. What is to be done now? قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The eldest amongst them said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Don't you remember and know that your father has taken the most solemn oath with you in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفِ. And before, you didn't do your justice. You failed in your duty to Yusuf. So now, after so many years, they talk about Yusuf. This has been a guilty thing that they didn't want to talk about. They didn't want to mention. They had kept it as a hidden crime. This is how criminals act and think, that they just ignore the crime. But now that another incident has occurred, it brings up very harsh memories. It brings up painful memories of what they have done. And so the oldest of them feels so guilty. So he says, "Don't you remember the promises we gave our father? And before we failed to fulfill the promise with Yusuf as well. Because remember, they gave the same promise. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ." Exact, word for word. They said the same thing with Yusuf and the same thing with Binyamin. And lo and behold, they are failing both promises. So the oldest of them feels so bad and so guilty for what he has done. And indeed he has done, because he is the oldest. He should have stopped them. He should have done something, but he didn't do it. So he feels so bad that he says that, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي. I will never leave this land. I will impose exile upon myself. And this is a punishment, self-inflicted punishment, to remain in a foreign land, foreign culture, foreign civilization, away from your wife and children, away from your family and society. This is a severe punishment, and only those who have experienced something like this can appreciate this. This is not an easy task for him to remain in a foreign land with a completely different civilization and culture. So he says, "I will never leave this land until my father gives me explicit permission to do so, or until Allah judges the matter," meaning either until I die or until Binyamin is freed. In other words, another way is left out for me. I'm not going to leave voluntarily from this land. أَوْ يَأْذَنَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And he is indeed the best of all judges. So he feels so guilty for what he has done that he wants to prove to his father that he realizes what he has done. He wants to show to his father that he has done a crime, so he imposes this penalty so that his father may feel that, okay, my sons were not lying to me. especially the oldest one, he feels an extra responsibility. Here there's an interesting facet here, and that is that here Allah mentions explicitly which of the brothers says it, because it's a good thing that he says. قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ The oldest of them says. Many pages ago, when we were talking about the one who said that they should kill Yusuf, Allah says, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ One of them says. One of them. So Allah doesn't specify which of them. But when it comes to good, Allah specifies which one of them specifically says the good. And this shows us the general rule and methodology. That when you want to speak of something evil, there's no need to mention names. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, when he wanted to criticize an individual for doing an action, he would stand up on the minbar, on the pulpit, and he would say, why does somebody do this? Why does one of you do this? And he would not mention him by name. And this is of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because he didn't want to cause him extra embarrassment. He wants to correct a public evil without pointing who the person is. But when he wants to encourage good, then he can specify that Abu Bakr is this, and Umar is that, and Uthman is that, and Ali is that, radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een. So when he's mentioning good, he mentions specifically. And when he's criticizing evil, he criticizes ambiguously, in vague terms. Who is the one who's being criticized? The name is not mentioned. And this is exactly the principle that is in the Quran as well. When an evil thing is said, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ One of them says. And when a good thing is said, قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ The oldest of them said. Notice the difference here, and let us benefit and learn from this methodology. So the oldest one imposes this exile upon himself, and he says to them, إِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ Go back to your father. Return to your father. There's no point now staying in the land. What can you do? Go back to your father. فَقُولُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّ بْنَكَ سَرَقْ Say to him, O our father, your own son has turned out to be a thief. Your own son has stolen. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا And we only testified, we only gave our testimony to what we know. In other words, this is now two meanings could be here. The first meaning is, when we testified initially, we only testify with the knowledge that we had. The second meaning, and this is the more apparent meaning, they are saying, we know for a fact Binyamin stole. We are saying this because we know it for a fact, we saw it with our own eyes. So, وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا We know for a fact, and we are testifying that Binyamin stole. Of course, they are testifying based upon the preponderance of the evidence. It's pretty obvious that the flask is found in Binyamin's sack, in Binyamin's carriage, and lo and behold, Binyamin is silent and he appears to be guilty because he's silent and not defending himself. So to them it is a clear-cut case that Binyamin has stolen and has been a person who committed a very major mistake. So they say, we're not inventing this, we're not lying, all of us are witnessing what we have told you. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ And we didn't know the unseen. We didn't know the future. When we testified that we will withhold, that we will protect Binyamin, we had no idea what would happen in the future. It could also be that we didn't have control over what Binyamin did when we didn't see him. So we're not controlling Binyamin when he's not around us. It could also mean that we don't know that when we gave the verdict upon the thief, that it would apply to our own party and apply to Binyamin. So there's a number of meanings and all of them are correct. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ We didn't know the unseen. Number one, we didn't know the unseen when we testified we're going to protect Binyamin. We didn't know that this would happen. We testified honestly, but we didn't know the future. We didn't know the unseen. Number two, we didn't know what Binyamin's private moments were. When he went out alone, when he was by himself, we don't know what he did. Allah is the one who is witness to that. And number three, when they asked us the ruling and the verdict of the thief, we had no idea that it would be used against us. So don't blame us. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ And then they tried to offer up some more evidence. They try to prove that what they are saying is true. They say, وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا Ask the village that we were in, meaning ask the people of that village. If you don't believe us, go ask the people of that village. We're not inventing this up. And if obviously Ya'qub is an old man now, he's not going to go all the way to that village. So they say, ask the village that we have come from, وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا and even ask the caravan that has come with us. Now obviously in those days they would travel in groups and large caravans, and so they have other people from Palestine, that have also been in Egypt, and they have now returned with the brothers of Yusuf. So they say, go ask our fellow travelers. They wouldn't lie. We're not inventing this up. Now, why are they being so tense and so guilty? Because they know that they've already lied about Yusuf. They know that they've already offered false evidence for Yusuf. Remember, it's very similar now. Is that when they come home from Yusuf's abduction, they bring an evidence and they say, here's the evidence. Now they come home and Binyamin is missing. Now they bring evidence. But this time, they're going out of their way. It's not just us, but it's also the village, it's also the people of the caravan. Go ask them. وَإِنَّهَا لَصَادِقُونَ. And we're telling you the truth. But subhanAllah, that's exactly what they said when they kidnapped Yusuf alayhi salam and they took him away. Because they said the exact same thing. And they said, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. You're not going to believe us even if we are telling the truth. And here they are now telling the truth. And obviously, Ya'qub has been stung from them too many times. He's already been stung from the incident of Yusuf. And now, lo and behold, Binyamin has been snatched away as well. And he has been accused of a crime Ya'qub knows cannot be true. This is a father. This is the father of Yusuf and Binyamin. He knows that this is not my son. My son would never, ever steal. And now they come forth, and lo and behold, they are missing Yusuf from 20, 30 years, Binyamin is missing, and then also his oldest son is missing. And the oldest son, it can be assumed as well, was the favorite son after Yusuf and Binyamin. So now they come home, only 9 of them out of the 12, and even one more son is taken away. What was the response of Ya'qub, and what did he say when 3 of his sons were missing? Well, that is something we will find out, inshallah ta'ala, in our next episode. I hope to see you then. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi. وبركاته.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب.
صلى عليك الله يا خير الورى، تعداد حبات الرمال وأكثرا. صلى عليك الله ما غيث هما، فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى، فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى.